I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so we've been in the middle of a series talking all about the cards from Unstable. So I'm talking about every card minus the contraptions. And we are up to Finders Keepers. So it's a common sorcery, 5 and a black, so 6 mana total, 1 which is black. Destroy a target creature, then assemble a contraption. So one of the things we wanted to that was important was we wanted to make sure that we sort of could get people to dip their toe into contraptions, if you will. And so one of the things we wanted to do was use a couple cards that just would kind of sometimes get into decks because you just needed it in the deck, and then in limited. So like 6 mana for a kill spell is not a great card in Constructed, but in Limited, you tend to run it. You know, kill spells are pretty important. And so the idea was we wanted to kind of dip your toe into contraptions, and maybe once you're playing one or two contraptions, you know, you're encouraged to play a little bit more. So the idea is you draft this somewhat early, because kill spells are good, and then you go, oh, well, I already have a contraption. Maybe I should draft a few more contraptions. The other interesting thing about this thing is sometimes we make a card and then we stick creative team with, it's just kill a creature, assemble a contraption. What does that mean? And so I liked a lot the flavor we came up with, which was that you kill somebody, then you rifle their pockets and find stuff maybe that you can put into your contraption. I thought that was kind of cute. Okay, first pick. It's an uncommon instant. Costs 3 and a green. So 4 mana total, 1 of which is green. Destroy target artifact or enchantment, assemble a contraption. So here's another example where we were trying to sort of, you always want to make sure that you get a green naturalized effect in common. But we also want to make sure we had enough contraptions, and this is another example, just like Finders Keepers, where we doubled up a little bit, where we made, now this is more a sideboard effect than a main deck effect, although in this set, because of contraptions, and because there's an artifact theme in the set, you might want naturalizes slightly higher than you normally would. But anyway, this was just sort of, one of the things that tends to happen when you design sets is you have needs and you kind of run out of space. And so sometimes you double up on stuff. So this is a good example where green needed a contraption card, a common or uncommon, and green needed a naturalize effect. And we sort of combined them together. So a couple of funny things about individual parts. So the name First Pick is a joke. This is not a card you would first pick. This is a card you would pick much, much later in the pack. That is a joke. A lot of people somehow didn't get that we were, our tongue was in our mouth, as you would say. We were joking. This shows the creature, the hammer is growing on trees. And there was a lot of debate among the artists of, if you had a hammer tree, what part of the hammer would be, like, where do you pluck the hammer off of? How does it grow on a tree? And there was a lot of debate about what part grows off the tree and where are you snapping it off. I think I wrote this flavor text. I thought it was funny that once you got the idea of the hammers growing on trees, how else could you grow things? And the idea of saw bushes, I don't know, I thought it was just funny. But like, you know, how bushes a lot of times will have things that will catch you, so they use a saw, you know, I thought that was cute. Okay, next, 5-finger discount. So it's an uncommon sorcery, costs 4 blue-blue, so 6 mana total, 2 of which was blue. Put target non-land permanent into your hand. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color the next time you cast that card. Okay, so this was did a couple things. One is, one of the rules about silver border sets is you have to have something about the card that is silver border. By the way, Finders Keepers and First Pick, another reason they both tack on build a contraption onto basic effect is we're not allowed to do basic effects in a vacuum. Something about it has to be silver border. Contraptions, those are silver border. So here, the thing we do is normally when I return it to owner's hand. Well, this does not say owner's hand. This says your hand. So this allows you to do something. In black border, one of the big no-nos is you are not allowed to put opponent stuff into your hand. So I can never put my opponent's cards into my hand. It always bounces to its owner's hand. And so in black border, one of the ideas is only you kind of get to handle your cards. You don't let your opponent handle your cards. But silver border, we're above that. So in silver border, you can actually go take somebody else's card and put it into your hand. The rider we have on this is because you can get something that's not yours, we give you a means to be able to cast it. So the idea is if you pick somebody else's thing up, this lets you then cast that thing. And it's kind of cute. It's a kind of effect that we might do in Black Border if we allowed this one component to be in Black Border. But anyway, it is definitely something that was something I... Early on, I made a list of things that I wanted to do that I knew we couldn't do in Black Border. I think both Unglued and Unhinged had messed around with having your opponent's cards in your hands in different ways. But I realized I'd never done the simple bounce spell. So this is one of the effects I believe was pretty early in the file. I think the earliest version didn't have the rider on it. It just let you bounce things. But then what we found was it got stuck in your hand a lot, and that was kind of less fun. Because then it was kind of like you had all these memory issues remembering that you had it because it would just get stranded there. So we added the rider to sort of so it didn't get stranded there. But anyway, that is Five Finger Discount. Forest. Okay, well, I'll talk a little bit about the basic land. I don't need to talk about all five, I guess. But one of the things that we'd wanted to do with the basic lands is do something cool and different. We actually experimented with a bunch of just ideas, not just full art land. But one of the interesting things was once we decided that we wanted to do contraptions and started messing around with contraptions, we got to full bleed and realized we could do full bleed. And one of the things that had happened in Unhinged is we actually had two different versions of the full art lands. We had the ones that ended up going in the set, which had a very, very tiny border. And we had another set that had no border, went all the way to the edge. And at the time we were making Unhinged, I went around and talked to people, and the general consensus was that was too much. You know, we needed to have a border. You can't have no border. That's crazy. So we ended up Unhinged going farther than we had done on Unglued. So we sort of, and I feel like this was a natural progression. It's to do the thing that we talked about Unhinged, but we're afraid to do. Now we're like, no, all the way to the edge. We went and talked to John Avon, who did the Fort Land for Unhinged. John Avon's really good at doing art for basic lands. And so we had him do the art and made what I consider to be one of the most really breathtaking basic lands we've ever made. One of the people asked me whether or not, like, are unsets not supposed to do far land anymore because it's sort of grown beyond unsets? And my answer is, look, doing weird and fun basic lands, unsets put that on the map. Far lands were an unset thing. And while I'm happy that we're finding ways to take things and push them beyond Silver Border into Black Border, well, I guess those were always in Black Border, but we're glad to take Silver Border things and move them beyond Silver Border sets. I still like for us to push the boundaries. Lands all the way to the edge is something we had never done before, and so I felt like it was still us pushing. One of the challenges for the next unset, which I hope will happen, is I believe that basic lands are just an expectation for unsets, and I want to do them. But I want to always keep pushing boundaries and figure out cool ways to do things that people don't expect. So I have no idea what we're doing for the next batch of full art lands. I'm sure we will do them. I don't even know they'll be full art, but the next unlands, I'm not sure what we'll do with them. Okay, next, Garbage Elemental. Uncommon creature, elemental, 2/4 for 4 and a red. So 5 mana, 1 of which is red. Okay, so the Garbage Elemental is another one of our rules variant cards. This is uncommon. Like I said, there's 3 uncommon and 3 rare ones. 1 in each color and 1 artifact. So we already saw everything majig was the artifact. So Garbage Elemental actually is interesting. So originally, when we go back a ways, one of our goals when we first started making Unstable was to play around with new things for collation and for printing. Like, how can we do... what can we do with new printing technology? And one of the ideas we played around with was cards that are not the same card. Because one of the things with new printing technology is that you can make... like. So the idea of this card originally was that we'd have a collection of abilities. Let's say we had, I don't know, 30, 40 abilities. And the idea was each card would pick 2 of those abilities and print it on the card. And the idea was, because it would be random, there would just be a huge number of... so if there's 40 things, is that 40 times 39? I'm trying to remember. I think it's 40 times 39. Anyway, it would be a huge number of unique different cards. Now, it turns out that idea, while really cool, was something that we couldn't do yet. Even though we worked way ahead and took forever to get the set out, printing technology didn't quite catch up to some of the design ideas we had. Maybe one day we can do that. I hope we can. It's kind of cool. So what we did to mimic it, this is the one card where we try to mimic what the original card was going to do. So this card, we just stuck two abilities on it as if they were random two abilities, but just made six versions of it that'd be cool abilities, cool combinations to get. What we did here is one of them is a normal keyword and one of them has some unqualities to it. So for example, this is Frenzy 2. So Frenzy is whenever this creature attacks and isn't blocked, it gets +2/+0. Frenzy is one of the keywords that showed up on the future shifted cards in Future Sight. And then Garbage Elemental can't be blocked by wordy creatures. A creature is wordy if it has four or more lines of rules text. By the way, we miswrote the reminder text for wordy on Frazzle Editor in Unhinged. It's not supposed to count, it's only supposed to count rules text. Because it's not supposed to count flavor text, because like a grizzly bear isn't wordy, even though it has lots of flavor text. So we errated it. Ironically, the card that has all the mistakes on it has a mistake on it. We errated it in Unhinged, and then in Unstable, when we wrote it out, we made sure to write it correctly. So this is the actual correct wording for the reminder text for protection from wordy. It does not count flavor text, just counts rules text. Anyway, there are six versions of this card. I don't have them all in front of me, but each one of them has two abilities, one of which is a normal ability, although once, as Frenzy shows, we definitely pick and choose to make sort of quirky regular abilities, and then the other one usually some unflavored ability. Okay, next. Gimme 5. Uncommon instant for one white, for a single white mana. You gain one life for each person who high-fives you in the next 30 seconds. Each player in a silver-bordered game who high-fives you gains one life. Offer high-five, don't hit people. So a couple things. One is, we had a mechanic in the set for a while that was called Stopwatch. And what Stopwatch was is it told you you had so much time to do some goal. And I think this card was one of our Stopwatch cards originally. And the idea was you had to get so many, in a certain amount of time, you had to get so many high fives. I forget exactly how many it was. And then when we stopped doing Stopwatch, we took it out of the file. But then it dawned on me when I was trying to do more more involving of other people, something that made me realize that I love this idea of high-fiving people and that getting an environment where it's fun to kind of run around and high-five everybody. So we ended up putting this back in, but rather than be timed, we decided, okay, it is timed, you only have 30 seconds, but rather than try to get so many in that time, it's just like you gain a life for every high five you get. And one of the things we thought would be fun is we want the set to have a lot of cards that generate stories, and we knew that the high five was just like, I got 40 high fives, you know, I gained 40 life, I gained 50 life, you know, and people have posted videos of their high five where they're like, the entire story is lining up to high five them, and a lot of cool stuff has happened. A few things about this. One is, Glenn was our editor. Glenn made very careful to word this to make sure, because one of the problems we had with Unhinged and Unglued was sometimes people would interpret things in a way that would be a little dangerous. People were chasing people around with vile bile and stuff like that. So we wanted to make sure that this was a voluntary high five. And so we were very careful that it words that you get a life for each person that gives you a high five. Not that you high five, meaning, and then we said in the reminder text, offer high fives, don't hit people. We really didn't want this to be, I go around smacking people and get a life for every person I smack. That's not the card. The person you're high-fiving has to be involved in the high five. They have to voluntarily high five you. You can't just hit people. That's important. Also, what we did to try to also give a little fun is we made the person getting the high five have a reward. But we had to limit the reward to people playing in a silver bordered game because we didn't want, like, you know, somebody casts this card and then somehow a real black bordered game gets affected. One of our rules is silver bordered games can affect other games, but only other silver bordered games. We made a card in Unhinged called Ass Whoopin', where you could destroy something in another game. But we made the ruling that you can't, sort of, there's a barrier around black border games. The silver border cannot pierce that barrier and affect black border games. It can affect silver border games. We define silver border games as any game in which someone's playing with a silver border card. But anyway, we let the person who's in a civil war game gain a life just because of some encouragement. And one of the fun stories I've heard is not just even the person getting the high five who's running around, but the person who gets the high five who's in a situation where that one life made the difference. And I always find it funny of, you know, like I've definitely been playing where like I'm low on life total and I see a high five and I'm like, I'm reaching my hand up like, come on person, come over here. Let's high five. But anyway, I really liked how that card turned out. Okay, next, Gnome Maid Engine. So this is it's a common artifact host creature, construct. It's a 2/2, and when this creature enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 colorless gnome artifact creature token. So this is a host creature, and it makes a little token creature. I think originally when we first made the host and suture creatures, we didn't make any artifact creatures. And this was, I think, a green creature, made a little 1/1 green creature. But then we realized when we were doing the math and the Az fans that we kind of needed artifact creatures to help make sure that you could fill out your, if you wanted to play host and suture, we wanted to give extra cards that anybody could play. So we ended up making a bunch of artifact creatures. And then what we did is we moved over the abilities that made sense in artifact. And making a token felt pretty artifacty, and not that colors don't make tokens, but it definitely felt like that. And then, for fun, we made it a gnome token. The artifact token in the set is a gnome token. There are a couple cards that make them. I think this is a card, by the way, that I originally had. There's no race-like gnome on. And then it got cut for some reason, and I convinced Kelly to put it on the other card. But anyway, this was, like I said, it was a green card for quite a while. Okay. Go to Jail. So when Go to Jail enters the battlefield, exile target creature an opponent controls until Go to Jail leaves the battlefield. At the beginning of upkeep of the exiled card's owner, that player rolls 2 6-sided dice. If he or she rolls doubles, sacrifice Go to Jail. Okay, so we came up with this pretty cool idea. We already had dice as a component, and I forget who came up with this card. But the idea was to mimic Go to Jail from Monopoly. So Go to Jail, in Monopoly, you can get a card that says Go to Jail, and then you don't get out of jail until you roll doubles, and every turn you roll a card. And dice mattered, and we liked the idea that you were like put away, but you didn't know how long, and then also the person who's in jail gets to roll dice, and sometimes that's good. And so it interacted with everything. And we liked a lot, so we liked the idea that it was kind of a nod to Go to Jail, but... So it turns out that Monopoly is a Hasbro property. So we actually said, let's go talk to Hasbro and see if we can actually just call it Go to Jail. You know, we could have kind of made a subtle nod to without being called Go to Jail. And then those who were in the know would kind of figure out what we were doing. But we thought, look, we're having fun. This is Hasbro. Let's go see if we can do this. So now at HasCon, we actually made 3 cards that referenced other games, one of which we'll see later in the set, sort of Dungeons & Dragons. The other two, one referenced Grimlock referenced Transformers, and then there was a card reference Nerf. That's the first time we'd ever gone to talk to other, we'd ever referenced other properties outside of Wizards. But this set got made before that, and actually, sort of Dungeons & Dragons, I'll talk about that. Was already always in the set, although Dungeons & Dragons is down the hall, so that's a lot easier to talk to. But we did go through the steps and talk to them, and we got thumbs up from the Monopoly people. And so we actually got to call it Go to Jail. We even made it all caps because it's all caps in the game. Go to Jail is in all caps. So we did it in all caps. But anyway, this card has been a lot of fun, and it really plays. It really is one of those examples where, like, when we rolled the dice, the reason we started originally was not because we thought of dice interactions, but because we thought we were able to roll dice. There was dice rolling in this. And it turns out that making the opponent roll dice sometimes does some weird things. Usually it's positive to roll dice. So sometimes, like, I need to lock away their big creature. Oh, but I need to give them access to dice rolls. For example, on game night, I was playing... which game was it? I think it's the first game. I was playing Josh. And he had 2 creatures... one of which was like a 6/6 creature, and the other grew every time you rolled a certain die, the beaker, the sacred beaker. But I ended up, the bigger creature was going to be more of a problem, but then he was rolling dice, so the thing started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it was really interesting on how, I kind of had to get rid of the 6-6, but I was setting myself up for a danger. And I ended up solving that and won that game. But it was a really neat interaction, so I really enjoy how that's played. Goblin Haberdasher. So this is an uncommon creature. Goblin Hadificer. A creature, Goblin Hadificer. 2/2/2R. That's a new thing, Hadificer. And it says it's got menace. And then other creatures you control hats. Other creatures you control wearing hats in their art have menace. So first off, let me add to the question that everybody's asking. Why wasn't this haste? Haberdasher, it was haste. That's where we started. Haberdasher granted haste. It turned out not to play particularly well. So we ended up putting menace on, which played a little bit better. That is where we started, because Haberdasher gains haste. It just didn't play that well. So we went through a lot of iterations on this card. It started as Haberdasher, started as looking for hats, not something else. I had messed around in the other unsets about caring about art in some way, because Black Borders not allowed to care about art, because we'll do reprints and the card could have different art, but all versions of the card have to be the same mechanically. So Black Border can't care about art. So I love the idea that here's a set where, you know, Silver Border can care about that. So I like making a few art matter cards. So this is an art matters card. Now it has led to a lot of, is this a hat? Is that a hat? So in the FAQ, I define a hat. There is a lot of nuance that goes into what exactly a hat is. The biggest question I've answered is the Brainiacs have this dome-like brain thing that has their brain in it. And the answer for that is not a hat. That is their head. That is not a hat. But then we got into a lot of things about helmets and this and that. So helmets are hats. And anyway, in the FAQ, I spell out all the definition of hats. But this was, I feel like every unset there, for some reason, there always is some card in which I have to define an English word and then go, here's what a hat is. Here's what food is. Anyway, so that hat was, this card was that for this set. But anyway, it's a fun card, and I love the idea that you can build a deck around it, and it's my hat deck. Innistrad, by the way, has a lot of hats in it if you want to find a set with lots of hats. Okay, next, Graveyard Busybody. So it's a rare creature, human spy, star, for 4 blue-blue, so 6 mana, 2 of which is blue. All graveyards are also your graveyards. And Graveyard Busybody's power and toughness are each equal to the number of cards with flavor text in your graveyard. So first off, I think the card started with just the second ability, which is it gained control of everybody's graveyard. But the concern was that it didn't really do anything unto itself. So we added the second rider to care about flavor text in graveyards to make having somebody else controlling someone else's graveyard mean something. Just within the context of this card. The other big question is whether or not you can gain someone's graveyard in a normal game. I went and talked to Eli about this, and it does a lot of weird, quirky things that we decided this was the right place to put it. And I like the extra ability just gives it some meaning beyond that. And I like caring about flavor text, and so caring about flavor text on creatures and graveyards is definitely kind of interesting. So it definitely it ends up being sort of a weird flavor-based Lurgoyf, which is kind of cool. And as far as caring about the opponent's graveyard, there's just a lot of neat, weird things you can do. We let you gain control of the opponent's stuff, but we don't normally let you gain control of the opponent's zone of the opponent. And so this one definitely does quirky things. Okay, next, Ground Pounder. Common creature, Goblin Warrior, 2/2, 1 and a green. For 3 and a green, roll 6-sided die. Ground Pounder gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the result. And it says, whenever you roll 5 or higher on a die, Ground Pounder gains trample until end of turn. Okay, so once we decided to bring dice back, we had dice and unglued. And then, due to the poor reception of some of the cards, I didn't bring that to Unhinged. Upon further research, I realized that it was more an execution thing than dice as a whole. Because I really did enjoy how a lot of dice played. Especially because Magic has got a little more of a casual crowd since the early days, I decided to bring dice back. There's a card in the original set called... Oh, what is it? It's a chicken. It's a green chicken. Chicken Wall or something? I'm blanking on the name. Anyway, It has the thing where you get to roll die. You roll two dice, and then it gets plus X whenever you the die roll matches. But then you sacrifice it if you ever roll... I forget what it is. So it kind of did the thing that we weren't supposed to do, which was you had upside, but you had this downside that was kind of just made you apprehensive sometimes to roll the dice. Oh, I know what it was. You roll the dice, and if you got doubles, you got that much bigger. But if you rolled a certain combination, then it died. Or maybe if you rolled doubles twice, it had this thing where it got bigger, but it could be destroyed. So I said, okay, let's try to take that idea, simplify it a little bit. So the idea here is it gets bigger. You only roll one die. It doesn't some of the time work. It always works. So instead of it sometimes works, sometimes not working, now it always works. Now it scales. +1/+1 is not as good as +6/+6. But the idea is you want to roll the die. It's always good to roll the die. If you have the mana, of course, you should roll the die. And then the idea was we like it to scale, and we like to have a lot of variance in unsets, meaning I like the idea that you know, your die roll can be, not so much, or, oh, my God, that's backbreaking, could win the game. So we decided that we wanted to give you a reward if you rolled high enough. So originally what the card did was if you rolled a 6, you got trample. But the problem we ran into was the template, because of the cards in black, Squirrel Power and, is it called Lab Squirrel? There's a bunch of cards, Scheming Squirrel, sorry. Lab Squirrel became Scheming Squirrel. There's a bunch of cards in black that let you make a die roll 1 or 2 higher than normal. So you can roll higher than the 6. So what we didn't want is, if we said if you roll a 6, we didn't want to punish you for rolling a 7 or rolling an 8. So we said, okay, well, if you roll 6 or higher. But the problem is, if you don't know the existence of the black border card, I'm sorry, not black border, of the black cards that raise your die roll, it just reads really weird. If you roll 6 or higher on a 6-sided die, how do I roll 6 or higher on a 6-sided die? And it just was confusing. So the answer was to take all the cards that gave you a reward for rolling 6 and make it 5 or rather than 6, 5 or higher. That way, if I say 5 or higher, it doesn't throw you because there is a higher number on a 6-sided die. And we had to retweak. I think this one we didn't have to change much because the granting of trample was, well, good. It was acceptable on a 5 or 6 based on what we costed. But anyway, yeah, this card started. Once again, this is a card that we had really early on. The dice rolling was one of the earliest things we put in the set. And like I say, other than changing the 5 to the 6, I don't think this one changed much. Okay, next, Grusilda, Monster Masher. So she's a rare legendary creature. She's a zombie villain, 4/4, for 3 black and red. So 5 mana, 1 black, 1 red. Combined enchanted and equipped creatures you control have menace. And 3 black, red tap. Put 2 target creature cards from graveyards onto the battlefield. Combined into 1 creature under your control. Its power is equal to their total power. Its toughness is equal to their total toughness. And has their name, mana cost, type, and text boxes. So the idea is what she does is she combines things into these monster mashups. This is something I actually try to do in real Black Border Magic. There's a card called Dracoplasm in Tempest, which is the first time I try to do this. And Dracoplasm ended up being you just sort of picked something and then added some other stuff on, and I think you made it into a dragon or something. It turned quite a bit. But I did originally try to smash two creatures together from the graveyard. The flavor was kind of fun. But anyway, it's one of those things that I tried to make, went away, and I just kind of forgot about. And this was finally the time where I said, oh, wait, because it's weird that I'll come up with things, and then I make some more sense, I just forget, oh, yeah, here's a weird card I made. So I remembered I had this card. We made it such, by the way, so when it says combined, enchanted, and equipped creatures, combined means anything that gets put together. So the things she makes is combined, host and suture is combined, meld is combined. So anytime we use BFM is combined, anything, it's a new term that we made for this, but anytime you sort of put two things together, and then we added equipped and enchanted just to sort of give her a little extra, you know, a little viability. But anyway, she is one of the Cabal. There's 4 members of the Cabal that run the Legion of Dastardly Doom. She is one of them. She has a little bit of a Bride of Frankenstein kind of look about her to give her a little sort of monster feel, because she herself is a zombie, so we want to give a little Frankenstein feel. She's more like a Frankenstein zombie than a necromantic zombie. But anyway, that is Griselda. Okay, next, Half Kitten Half. So this is an uncommon creature, although it's an augment card. It's an uncreature cat, plus one, plus two. So that means is you plus its power by one and its toughness by two, and then it overrides it to make it a cat. And then whenever you're dealt damage, is the way augments work is they give you a new trigger. So this triggers whenever you're dealt damage, and then it has the augment cost, which costs two and a white for this card. And what that means is that you can spend two and a white in your hand to augment a host creature on a battlefield. When we first made the augment, most of them were called half something, half something. Because we wanted you to get the idea that these were augmented. Originally, I think we had Kitten as a host creature, but we didn't have it as a suture creature. And then I think it was Kelly that came up with the idea that we could have both a kitten, adorable kitten, and have a creature that's half kitten, half, so that you can make the half kitten, half kitten. The only mistake I think we made on this, which is an awesome joke, is we should have colored this cat. We had the same artist do both cats, and the cats look the same. We should have had the cats be different colors. So half kitten is the same adorable kitten, just half of it is like tabby and half of it is black. I think that would have been a funnier joke. But anyway, this thing is pretty potent if you ever played half kitten. It is, because adorable kitten gets you D6 life. And this is whenever you take damage. So the cool part about getting half kitten is anytime someone damages, you gain up to 6 life. So there's times in which someone will damage you and you go up in life. I actually, the same game I was talking about playing with Josh on the first game on Game Nights, when we did the Unstable show, you can see me get a half kitten. Okay, we go on to the next. Oh, we have a bunch of these in a row because we're in the halves. Half Orc Half is an uncommon creature. Orc Warrior gives +3/+1. It has trample, and then at the beginning of each end step, if opponent was dealt damage this turn, with an augment of 1RR. So once we had the naming convention of half blank half, so in D&D, you can play an orc, but there's also half orcs. I believe half orcs are, one of your parents is an orc, and one is a human, I believe. It's a cross between humans and orcs, just like half elf. But anyway, half orc is a D&D joke, and we were already doing some D&D jokes, so we decided to do half orc. This is one of the ones that grants you an ability when you put it on, that not only do you get +3/+1, but it also gets trample. And then this thing is an end of turn trigger that cares about whether or not you've done damage. And the nice thing about it is the creature itself has trample, so it increases the chance that you got some damage through, to the opponent. So it sort of helps enable that you maybe can make this happen. Next, Half Shark Half. So this is an uncommon creature. It's a fish. Grants you +3/+3 at the beginning of your upkeep, and then augment 5 blue. So this is, it literally just happens every turn. You don't have to do anything. It just happens every turn. So this one costs a lot. It costs 6 mana to augment, but it can definitely do something pretty cool. So the interesting thing about this is, in the original, if you ever saw the first mock-up of Host and Suture we made, Dan Emmons, one of my team members, actually drew it. There's a card called Card Shark that was a creature that drew you cards. And then there was, we put Half Ninja. At the time, we called it Half Ninja Half rather than, now it's called Ninja. So that card was, I think Half Shark Half is what was the Ninja card, I believe. Maybe the Ninja card was when you dealt damage. Anyway, we decided to put the shark on the front half. I'm not sure why, in retrospect, the back half has this... Anyway, we were trying to figure out what was funnier, the front half or the back half. I mean, the front half has all the teeth, obviously. Maybe we snuck in the fin. I guess the fin's the most identifiable thing for a shark. But anyway, we ended up... So there is a shark. So you can have half a shark and you can't have half a ninja, but you can't have a ninja with a shark. I did like the card drawing card being Card Shark. I thought that was funny. But it ended up being Merman, I think now is the card. So we had always planned for there to be a shark. There ended up being a shark. It just didn't quite end up on the half we thought it was going to be. But I do like the card. And by the way, half shark, half man, which is on the merman, where every turn you draw a card, is a really good combo. Although this is a good combo of just about everything, because it's just like every turn it happens. That's pretty good. So if you're drafting half shark, it's really good. Also really good is half squirrel. Half squirrel half. So half squirrel half is an uncommon creature. It's a squirrel. It gets -1/-0. So whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield, an augment G. So this thing is very cheap to augment. It is the only one that grants you a minus. It lowers your power. But whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield, is a pretty potent. It's a pretty potent trigger. It's funny. Half squirrel, half pony, by the way. We ended up having to rat ordinary pony, which I'll get to eventually, because half squirrel, half pony basically just was an infinite combo that as long as you had any other enter the battlefield effect, which is any host creature, it just went off infinitely, which proved to be a little too much, so we had to tweak the pony. But anyway, it's nice to know that one of the dangerous combo of the set was half squirrel, half pony. So anyway. Next, Hammer Helper. It's a common sorcery, costs 3 and a red, so 4 mana, one of which is red. Gain control of target creature at the end of turn. Untap that creature and roll a 6-sided die. Until end of turn, it gains haste and gets +X+0, where X is the result. This is another challenge we have in making uncards. They have to be silver bordered. So this is us saying, hey, we want to have a threaten effect. How do we make it un? Well, one of the reasons using dice is really nice is it's a very easy way to add stuff on. So this is like, oh, I steal it, and then I boost it. Well, how do I boost it? Oh, I roll a die. This is another one we made pretty early on. But it's a good example of why dice are just a really, really valuable tool for the unsets. It allows us to make a lot of pretty simple, straightforward cards that are, like, if die rolling existed in Black Border, this is the kind of card we maybe would do in Black Border. I mean, there's a reason we don't do die rolling because of the variants. But, this is... As far as what it's doing, it is a pretty straightforward card. Yeah, it has die rolling, but this is the kind of thing. Like, a lot of cards we can't put on the... Like, we can never, ever program a Magic Online. The dice rolling cards you can. Very clean, very straightforward. Not going to cause any problems. Computers know how to roll dice. So, anyway, I like this card because it's clean and straightforward. Oh, also, by the way... another little thing we added into the Goblin Explosionaires is when they were designing the faction, they came up with this idea that the goblins were obsessed with hammers, which ended up playing throughout the set. I'm not sure. If you look at it, it's a running joke throughout all the goblins, and they're just obsessed with hammers. It's just kind of funny this is somebody who's like a goblin that, he's the fixer for getting you hammers because everybody needs their hammer. I thought that's kind of funny. Next, Hammerfest Boomtacular. I'm sorry, I skipped Hammer Jammer. Hammer Jammer. Hammer Jammer is an uncommon creature, Goblin Warrior, 0/0 for 3 and a red, so 4 mana, 1 which is red. As Hammer Jammer enters the battlefield, rolls 6-sided die. Hammer Jammer enters the battlefield with a number of +1 counters on it equal to the roll. And then whenever you roll a die, remove all +1 counters from Hammer Jammer and then put that many on it. So the idea is when you play him, you roll a die to set what his power toughness is. But then anytime you roll a die for anything, it resets his power toughness. If you roll 2 dies at the same time, like for go to jail, you get to pick which one you want. But anyway... The idea essentially is he's a guy who's as big as your latest die rolling, which is a lot of fun because it makes you really think about when you want to roll your dice, and it definitely creates some fun interaction. Like, do you want to roll, is he low enough that you want to use your die rolling card before he attacks, so maybe he's bigger? Or no, he's already big, you want to attack first with him and then roll later. That's kind of cool stuff like that. It's a fun card that has a lot of neat interactions. Okay, last card for today, because I'm at work, but I'll finish up my hammer stuff. Hammerfest Boomtacular. So I'm going to tell you, this is the one card... actually, let me tell you what the card does, and I'll give you my little note about it. It's an uncommon enchantment for 3 red red. So it costs 5 mana, 2 of which is red. So whenever you cast a spell with a goblin explosion watermark, Hammerfest Boomtacular deals 2 damage to target creature or player. So this is the site I explained earlier with Rumor of My Death. Is there's an uncommon cycle of faction watermark matters that you can build around and draft. This is the one for the goblins. So the idea here is that whenever you cast a spell that has it. So my note on this card is the one card where I wanted a different name. I think the name I wanted, A, didn't fit, and B, I think they wanted to have a name more themed. My name, by the way, was Totally Original Red Uncommon. And the reason I wanted that name is this is an effect we do all the time. When we care about something, we want to care about it, and we want to draft around it. It's like, okay, here's a red uncommon that says whenever you do this thing, you know, you cast a card with this effect, or you use this effect, or whatever. Whenever you do the thing in question, hey, you get a shock. I think the first one was done whenever you cycled the card. Lightning. I'm blanking on the name. Okay, you guys are yelling out the name. But anyway, there's a card in Onslaught. Whenever you cycled a card, you got to shock something. You got to do 2 damage to something. And that card went over so well. Lightning Rift. That card went over so well that just it's something we do all the time. It's just an easy go-to place. It's a fun build around. People get it. And so it just seemed like I was looking at different things to do here. I'm like, why am I fighting the inevitable? This is just a cool, clean effect. So then I named it Totally Original Red Uncommon. And anyway, I don't think the name fit. And we weren't doing, in the past, we've done some names that were bigger than normal. We weren't doing that this time. Kelly, I think, really wanted to he had a fun creative, the goblin sort of, the fest, anyway, it's less music and more straightforward hearing damage. Anyway, that, by the friends, is, that's Hammerfest Boomtacular. Okay, so I will continue on next time. Obviously, I have a lot more cards to talk about. Hope you guys are enjoying this. There are a lot of neat, things to discuss, but anyway, I'm at work, so we all know what that means. This is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time.